I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Harvard, the nation's oldest university, is an academic powerhouse, but it is not exactly known as a top basketball school. But a standout player is making a name for himself and changing Harvard's rep at the same time, and he has an unusual profile. We'll tell you more about Jeremy Lin in a few minutes. But first, much ado about Toyota. If you own one and or drive one, then you are probably concerned about whether or not you should continue in the wake of recent headlines. The global recall of millions of vehicles because of concerns about accelerator pedals on a number of models, and now concerns about the brakes on the 2010 model of the popular Prius. At a congressional hearing yesterday, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood was asked what advice he would give to drivers of Toyota cars that are being recalled.
My advice is, if anybody owns one of these vehicles, stop driving it, take it to the Toyota dealer, because they believe they have the fix for it.
But after he left the hearing, the secretary said he misspoke, which left us more confused than ever. So we decided to turn to the most plain-spoken person we know in the world of cars, Warren Brown, car columnist for The Washington Post. He's been telling it like he sees it since 1982, and he's here with us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Try not to hold back, Warren. Try not to come out of your
Michelle,
show.
Michelle, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks. Warren, as briefly as you can, I was going to ask you to read the list of the models affected, but it's such a long list that would take up many minutes. So I'm going to ask you to...
You have eight models affected.
And so rather than read the list, we will refer our listeners to a website, a couple of websites. There's toyotaproblems.com and carcomplaints.com. But why don't you just give us the nexus of the complaints that brought these models to our attention?
The nexus of the complaint is that while the car is in motion, while it is driving, that the accelerator doesn't return. For example, when a person is approaching a stoplight or a red light, he or she takes the foot off the accelerator. And normally what happens is that the accelerator returns, car slows down, you hit the brakes, you stop it. In this particular case, the complaint is that the accelerator does not return, that it somehow gets stuck. That as a result, crashes ensue. And that's the basis of it.
And now there's news today that safety regulators opened a formal investigation into consumer complaints about braking on the 2010 Prius. What's the Prius Hybrid? What's the problem there?
Today's cars, Toyota and any other car from any major automaker, essentially what they are computers on wheels, computers with steering wheels. Computers can be and have been affected by electromagnetic pulses. As a matter of fact, one thing many automakers do, the ones who manufacture and sell here, is they go out to Ohio. I forget the name of the place, but they go out to Ohio someplace, which basically has huge electromagnetic pulses, and they test the car to see if its various and sundry electronic functions are negatively affected by those pulses. And so it's logical to assume that electromagnetic pulses may, in this case, certainly affect brakes that don't rely on your traditional mechanical cables, but instead rely on sensors and other electronic materials.
So should you, if you are the owner of one of these vehicles or driving one of these vehicles, should you wait to be contacted to bring it in, or should you just assume that there's a problem and call a dealer and say and bring it in, look for an appointment to bring it in?
No, what you should do is do what you should have been doing all along, that is paying attention to driving, not getting closer to people than you should be. If you feel some acceleration, what I usually do is quickly put it in neutral and squeeze on brakes. Squeeze on brakes because most of today's brakes have an anti-lock braking system and they pump themselves. You don't pump them. You just squeeze on it hard, not suddenly, but just squeeze. And that generally would help to bring the car in control. Remember, neutral brake. All right. Some people brake and then go neutral. I don't brake and go neutral because sometimes a car will spin out of control if it's speeding up. So I go to neutral and then I brake. Will this damage your transmission? Possibly. But it's either your transmission or your life. You choose.
So you should be very, you should be attentive to your driving, and if you detect a problem, you shouldn't wait to be contacted.
No, you should. If you detect a problem, assume that the problem can occur again. But if the problem occurs while you are driving, I normally quickly put the car in neutral and squeeze on the brakes, and that usually gets me out of trouble.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with car columnist Warren Brown about the Toyota recall. He's telling us what we should do. And, you know, you had an online chat on Monday where you said something that intrigued me. You said, or you wrote, that in the past, Toyota has been the reigning master of silent recalls in the United States. You write, it handled problems such as sludge in fuel tanks as consumer satisfaction programs. If consumers complained, the problem was fixed free of charge or at reduced cost to customer. Smart Toyota dealers did something else. They investigated the cause of the problems themselves, made the fix, and loaned their customers Toyota vehicles better than the one they owned at no charge to the customer. And many of those customers wound up buying the better vehicle at lower than sticker price. So are you suggesting that there have actually been these kind of quality or problems all along and that it's just been ignored?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that in this particular case, as in many other particular cases, the media failed, for one thing, because the media had anointed Toyota the quality leader because the domestics had supposedly messed up so badly. So the media failed. The media, to me, tended not to look at Toyota the same way it would look at General Motors, Ford, or Chrysler. And as you can see with the files I gave you, there were many reasons, you know, to look at Toyota. But time and time again, if there was a problem with sludge in tanks, for example, a murmur from the media, and it passed. If there were other problems, a murmur from the media, it passed. And there was even a mindset among many Toyota owners, and they would call me and say, I have problem A, B, and C with my Toyota. What am I doing wrong? If someone with a GM or Ford vehicle would call with a similar problem, all these expletive people, you know, they messed up again. I'm going to assume so forth and so on. And so that was, you know, that was the mindset. And I think that mindset showed specifically in this case. A lot of us knew, a lot of us who covered this industry knew for a long time that there were consumer complaints about braking. But we couldn't really interest anybody in those complaints because they were complaints against Toyota.
This is an issue of bedside manner, as it were, that maybe Toyota did such a good job of handling the customers that the issues weren't surfaced, as opposed to, or is it that people were in denial about the extent of the problem?
They were in denial about the extent of the problem, Michelle, but I will also say this. Toyota has the smartest, the best public relations people I've ever seen. You know, I remember, for example, Jim Press, who I believe was in charge of Toyota sales in the United States a while back. We were at a press conference in Geneva, okay? And everybody's introducing their new cars and what have you, their new trucks and so forth and so on. Press gets up there, and he timed it just right. Toyota is going to introduce now a hybrid Tundra. Not right away, but we just want to see you, give you an idea as to how it's going to look. And so he walks up to the Tundra. He pulls a hybrid sign out of his pocket, and it's a magnetic sign, and he puts it on the Tundra truck just as everybody starts clicking their cameras. And so the next day, you're looking at the paper, you're thinking Toyota has a hybrid truck. Well, they didn't have it. So
they had a hybrid sign.
They had a hybrid sign. And so the next day when press was showing the truck to some U.S. officials, I deliberately went up to the truck and took the sign off and said, Jim, when exactly are you going to introduce this truck? You know, but, you know, he was a smart PR guy. Toyota's PR people, I think, are the smartest in the world.
So much love. You mentioned U.S. officials. Was this a regulatory failure?
No. What do you mean?
The current situation with these Toyota models. This is a regulatory failure. You also mentioned in your online chat that you give a recall primer, as you put it. You say in the U.S. vehicles statutorily face federal recall only in matters of safety or possible clean air violations. But you say that customer fixes were often treated under the rubric of consumer satisfaction. You say that recall is a legal term, that most, nearly 95% of recalls in the U.S. are voluntarily.
Yeah. Most recalls are voluntary, meaning that the manufacturer makes the fix or attempts to make the fix without being forced to do so via the Justice Department or a court order. And that's usually how it's done. No one has any interest in going to court. You lose. If you are the manufacturer, you lose, because even if you are proven to be right, the sale of that particular product just dissipates. It just goes away, which, you know, happened to General Motors with the X-Car. It was another braking problem, lacking braking problem.
So, Warren, you routinely review cars and you make buyer recommendations. What are you telling folks about Toyota cars now?
Toyota does have good quality. All I have been saying is that they don't have perfect quality any more than anyone else. I have driven BMWs that had problems, Mercedes-Benz cars that have problems. So these cars are made by human beings. Do you know any human beings without a problem?
Good point. Washington Post car columnist Warren Brown, he was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studio. We'll have links to all of the pieces, the online chat, the websites that we mentioned in our conversation at our website. Just go to npr.org, click on programs, then on Tell Me More. Warren, thanks again.
My pleasure.
One of these days you'll come out of your shell.